This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come
on. Permission granted.
All right.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. After yesterday's hair-raising investigative report here on the show, where a Keebler employee spilled company secrets and told us that the elves are actually now producing Girl Scout cookies and making an equivalent of every single flavor that is sold in your normal grocer's aisle. Be honest, guys. Did you think about or did you, in fact, buy Keebler cookies last night?
Not last night, but I have a big about 10 a.m. Eastern date tomorrow morning with the supermarket where the cookie aisle will be hunted down like crazy.
War, did you think about buying the Keebler cookies or buy them?
I was all about it. Unfortunately, the grocery stores in my neighborhood are very small, and the cookie aisle, it basically has very, very limited selection, so I'm out of luck.
So I, too, also last night thought about when I was going to get to a grocery store to demolish the cookie aisle. That's what it did to all of us. It got us frothing at the mouth. It taught us. It was like Pavlov's dogs. It rang a bell, and we said, we got to get the cookies. Mraz, when you hit this grocery store at 10 a.m. tomorrow, do you already have your order in mind?
I think I'm very intrigued by the Jif peanut butter patties, as Ward read them out, because that is my favorite.
That's the tagalong.
The tagalong. That was my favorite Girl Scout tagalong. I've had the Keebler grasshoppers before, but just never thought about Thin Mints in my head. And I'm not a big Samoa's guy anyway with the coconut, so I'm going to have to go that route since they were my favorite Girl Scout cookie anyway and see what's up.
Yeah. So, Sunday is Easter. Are you doing anything for Easter, guys?
I am going out to dinner with the folks and the wife. And
out
stuff.
To dinner?
Yes. Yeah.
Some family engagements. I think we're making a steak on the barbecue.
Very Eastery of you.
Yeah.
Steak on the barbecue.
Flipping the script.
I got to go to church on Sunday morning and then head over to my Aunt Margie's house. She's hosting Easter over in Little Neck in Queens. And I've already thought about this. What am I going to bring to Easter? The cookies. I'm going to make the grocery store run. I'm going to go get the cookies that I want. I'm going to get a pack of Thin Mints, which is the grasshoppers. I'm getting an economy size pack of the tagalongs, which is the Jif peanut butter whatevers. Maybe I'll throw a s'mores in there. I'm going to be like, look, everybody, I brought the cookies. And then I'm going to open them up on Sunday and pig out.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's the perfect plan. What could go wrong? I get to buy all the cookies, seem like I'm the good guy, and then I get to eat all the cookies.
That's the perfect plan. That's the way you outsmart everybody. And then when somebody says, don't have a cookie, you're going to spoil your supper, you say, no, I'm an adult. I'll have as many cookies as I want.
That's exactly right. I just say that, you know what? If I've got to hang out with my extended family on Sunday, which can oftentimes be like a prison, just my own Alcatraz, I might as well be crushing all these delicious cookies that I had no idea were Girl Scout cookies.
Now, will you tell everybody you brought Girl Scout cookies?
No, no, no. I'll bring them in the regular package. I'm not going to repackage them or even put them in some type of platter and say that I baked them. But everybody's going to think that I bought all these amazing cookies for them. And I'm going to be like, yeah, think that, because I actually bought all these cookies for me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. He's been called one of the most underrated cornerbacks in the nation. He had 15 interceptions in his final two seasons at San Diego State. He's a guy that's turning a lot of heads and has had a lot of pro workouts for this NFL draft. Joining us here on the show is San Diego State corner DeMonte Casey, joining us on the program. DeMonte, how you doing?
How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just chilling.
Very cool. You've had a couple of workouts with a bunch of different teams. I know that the Eagles have looked at you. I know that the Cowboys have met with you. How have those visits gone with the NFL teams?
It's been going good. You know, it's great to see, like, all these new coaches and what type of scheme they run in the NFL. So I've been enjoying everything.
Good. It sounds like everybody's really impressed by your versatility. I know that a couple of teams have worked you out doing some press coverage, some man-to-man, some zone, and everybody raves about how you've been able to pick it all up. Have you felt comfortable no matter what the defensive scheme they've asked you to play has been?
Yeah, I don't worry about that because, you know, in college, we ran every scheme, but they just, like, majority of them want to see if I could press, which I could. I just played a lot of off coverage in college, so that's the only thing they look for.
People love your ball-hawking ability. As I mentioned, 17 picks over the course of your college career, 15 in your junior and senior seasons. Would you say that your ball-hawking ability is one of your strengths?
I wouldn't say that.
You would say that?
I would say my tackling, my aggressiveness in the run game is my number one strength.
Interesting. So what has it been that has allowed you to have one of the highest interception totals over the last 2 years?
You know, working with my coach, you know, my coach, Coach White, you know, we went over a lot of things because he said my first 2 years, we went back and looked at the film and I wasn't turning around trying to look for the ball. So we did a lot of things on the football field and it helped us out.
So coming up and playing the run, you feel is a real strength of yours, huh?
Yes. You know, I love to stick my nose everywhere.
Yeah, that's a rare quality, you know, for a defensive back, especially for a corner. There might be some safeties that like doing that. Certainly the linebackers like to do that. But you must be a rare breed of the cornerback that likes to do that.
Yeah, pretty much.
DeMonte Casey, cornerback from San Diego State, joining us here on the show. It's interesting because some have called you the most underrated cornerback in the nation. Do you feel underrated?
Honestly, I don't feel like I'm underrated because they probably call me underrated because, you know, a lot of them project me to go like fourth to fifth round, third to sixth. But at the end of the day, I say I don't care what round I go to. You know, it could be the last round, last pick. I'm still going to enjoy it. I'm going to celebrate like it's the first round, first pick. So I really don't care.
Yeah. Do you feel like no matter where you get drafted, you will have the same attitude? Like if you – let's say you got – drafted at the end of the first round or the second round versus if you had to wait until the sixth round, would you bring the same attitude into your NFL career?
Definitely. You know, either way I'm working, so.
Yeah. What will be that attitude? What's going to be the way that you want to carry yourself in the NFL?
The way I want to carry myself is keep improving, you know, every week. Just, you know, listen to the coaches. Try not to mess up on anything. You know, London plays ASAP. You know, I'm getting in shape right now as we speak. So,
how you doing? How you doing that? How you working out? What's your days look like?
Well, you know, I lift weights and, you know, do a couple of DB drills. Then I'll probably run a mile or two. You know, just try to stay in shape.
DeMonte Casey, San Diego State cornerback, joining us here on the show. Did you ever feel like playing at San Diego State and in that conference felt like you were getting overlooked because it wasn't the SEC or it wasn't the Big Ten?
Honestly, yes. But at the end of the day, man, I don't care where I go. You know, it could be a JC team. You can take it to JC team. So if that JC team have a better week of practice than you, they might come out there and beat you. So either way, you got to practice the same way.
What do you feel was your best game at San Diego State in the Mountain West? Do you remember there was a game and you said, you know what, that's the best I have played over 60 minutes of football. Was there a game that stood out in your mind like that?
I would say last year versus Wyoming, the second game in our championship, December 5th. You know, I give it my all on that, you know.
Was it because it was the championship game that you kind of left it all out there, or did it finally kind of all click for you because of the end of the season and everything that you had been coached and learned led up to that? What was it about that game that you felt it kind of all come together?
You know, we played them that September, so all I remember is, you know, we're gonna have to play them again for the championship. So the only thing I was remember is them running on the field like they didn't win a championship already when we first played them. So that just kept replaying through my mind. So I knew we were going to have another chance, so I just gave it my all in the championship.
So was that kind of burning in your mind and something that you was replaying over and over when you went out and took the field?
Yes.
So you used it as fuel, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of those guys, a lot of your teammates do the same thing? Did you talk to anybody about using that as motivation?
I mean, that week of practice, you know, our team just changed. It wasn't no laughing, no joking around at practice. You know, everybody knew we had to win this game, the championship game.
So that was just a different week of practice, huh?
Yeah, different week.
Did you have to say anything, or did the coaches have to say anything, or did everybody just kind of get that silently and nothing had to kind of be said about why it was different?
I mean, as the captain on the team, you have to, you know, talk to a lot of people on your team, you know, to tell them, like, you know, this is a real game that's coming up. You know, it ain't no joking around no more. We need to win the championship. So a lot of that had to do with a lot of captains on our team, but everybody knew what we had to do this week, that week.
Yeah, you guys had avenged that one-point loss against Wyoming in that championship game and then went on to the Las Vegas Bowl, where you guys ended up beating a Houston team that was kind of the darlings of the nation for a long part of the season. And then by the end, you guys put it on them, won by 24 points. How satisfying, how gratifying was it to beat that Houston team and beat them as badly as you did in the bowl game?
You know, it was just like either other game, you know. We had to just go out there and practice hard. Best team, the better team that had the best practice, you know, I think that we'll win at the end of the day. So I'm pretty sure they went up out there big-headed thinking it was going to beat us because we was in the Mountain West.
And you showed them.
Yeah.
You know, I've also read some draft profiles then and coaches and scouts saying that you've got a really high football IQ, that when you're on the field, you can always be depended on to make the right decision, to have the right instincts, to be in the right place. Do you feel like that's something you bring to the table?
Yes, definitely.
Is that something that's just natural to you, or is that something that comes through coaching and repetition and really thinking about those things?
You know, that came with a lot of the coaching this year, with the past 5 years I've been at San Diego State. So that had to do with a lot of coaching.
You feel like you are a man corner, a zone corner? Do you feel like you'll be best served as a nickel corner? Where do you think you fit in the NFL?
I think they're going to try me at nickel because of, you know, my height. But, you know, I can play anywhere, man. I can play long snapper if I had to, so it doesn't matter.
Devontae Casey, maybe the most underrated cornerback of the nation and also a very underrated long snapper going into the NFL draft from San Diego State, joining us here on the show. Well, Devontae, best of luck in the draft, man. I really appreciate you carving out time for us. Can't wait to see where you land, and hopefully we'll catch up again, buddy.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Devontae Casey, San Diego State cornerback, joining us on the DA show. When we return, we had that whole Aaron Rodgers versus Mraz situation a couple of weeks ago at the Final Four. Well, today, more evidence on why Aaron Rodgers told Mraz, quote, "Get away from me, buddy." The I-Team reports. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Goo Goo Dolls are hitting the road this summer with special guest Philip Phillips. Don't miss out on this unforgettable concert event. Get your tickets now, LiveNation.com. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for being with us. Game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs between Toronto and Washington. The Capitals are the number one overall team in the NHL this year. 118 points, the President's Trophy winners, and a lot of pressure on the Caps to finally get that elusive Stanley Cup that Ovechkin has never played for. And the young, plucky underdog Leafs had opened up a 2-0 lead on the road in D.C. tonight before Washington got one back. It's a 2-1 Leafs lead right now with 5 minutes gone by in the second period. We're tracking that one for you tonight. Clint in Arizona, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 980. Hello, Clint.
Hey, D.A., how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, you guys. Great show. I always listen to you. My question for you today is, or actually opinion, the upcoming NFL draft in a couple weeks from today, what do you think about the upcoming draft of Joe Mixon from Oklahoma? I'm a Packer fan, been one for many, many years, and I've seen a few mock drafts, and the Packers are in need for a running back. Do you think that anybody's going to give that young man a chance after the things that's been going on with the DVs and stuff like that with the Ray Rice deal? And do you think Mr. Mixon's going to get a shot?
Yeah, no doubt he's going to get a shot, Clint. It's just about how far he drops or vice versa, how early he goes. I think Joe Mixon's going to be a second-round draft pick. I do. As ugly and as gross as that video was, there is going to be an NFL executive, a GM, a scout, an owner, a coach that sees him in the second round, maybe mid to late second round, and says, we got ourselves a steal because this guy's a first-round talent. Now, I don't think he goes in the first round because you've got three very, very good running backs. I love Leonard Fournette. I think Christian McCaffrey can be very good. I think Fournette's going to be the best out of this class of running backs. Dalvin Cook has a lot of ability. I see a lot of Thurman Thomas in him. However, he's got shoulder injury history, which is going to make him drop. But after those guys, yeah, I think you'll see Mixon go fourth running back. And if Dalvin Cook, because of his shoulder stuff, drops out of the first round, you might see Mixon go earlier than Cook. I think Cook's still going to go first before him. I think it's going to go Fournette, then McCaffrey, then Cook, then Mixon. But he's going to get a shot. Hard for me, man, to stomach that, because domestic violence makes my stomach churn. But he's definitely going to get a shot, man. You watch. If he's still around by late second round, he's going to get snapped up by somebody. I bet he does not last until round three. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. You know, because if you take him with your second pick, or if you have three picks in the first two rounds and take him with your third pick, what you could tell and sell your fans is, well, we wouldn't take him with our first pick. The most important two picks are these two guys. But we felt like he has taken accountability for his actions. We feel like he's learned a big lesson. And you can kind of swing it as, well, if we get our first two guys and they become longtime starters, then Joe Mixon, he's just kind of a toss-in value pick. Remember a couple of weeks ago at the Final Four, of course you do, where Aaron Rodgers told Mraz to get away from him, buddy? Well, we learned later in that week that he had broken up with Olivia Munn. And so it's distinctly possible that that night that Mraz went up to him and showed him a picture of himself in a Speedo with a bunch of Crisco and chicken seed all over him was the night that Rodgers was going through the breakup. It could have been. And maybe Rodgers was salty because of it.
She's a bad girl, David.
Maybe he's going through the breakup and telling his buddies about it, and then suddenly Mraz walks up with a picture of himself in a Speedo, and Rogers just isn't in the mood. Get away from me, buddy. But now we learn more. According to Us Weekly, a longtime friend says that Aaron Rodgers is making drastic changes to his personal life since the breakup. His pal, anonymous of course, said, quote, he used to work out with his teammates during the offseason, but this offseason he's chosen to work out primarily with Nick Jonas in West Hollywood.
I am the epic fail.
Working out with Nick Jonas?
Wait, Jonas running fly patterns for him?
Seriously. Post-breakup, Rogers has hired a personal stylist, Us Weekly reports, who also dresses Ryan Gosling, Dreamy, and is getting weekly facials in Beverly Hills and has been hanging out with TV actors Eddie Mills and Ryan Rotman. Now, I don't know those two guys. Anybody know anything that they've been in? Now, they broke up, a source tells Us Weekly, because Olivia was too controlling and didn't get along with his family. Now, we've told you about our run-in that we believe Jordan Rodgers was at the same dive bar we were at with Aaron Rodgers, running interference with a fake phone call on his cell as Rodgers left. We started to put pieces together because, Mraz, that really was the beginning. That was the genesis of the I-Team here on the show.
That was the genesis. That's where we started to realize we have some real investigative fortuity.
So here's my question. I don't think that's a word. Here's my question.
What was the word?
Fortuity.
Infortuity?
I think just fortuity.
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 Like we're fortuitous.
Yeah, that's definitely not
still
a noun.
No.
Not a noun. Not a noun.
Before we move on, what is the word, just so I know?
Going well, forward. Fortuitous is a word.
Fortuitous. And I said fortuitous?
No, you said we have fortuity.
So fortuitous.
I think maybe it's fortuitousness. Maybe that's the noun, but maybe
we
they're just
fortitude.
Well, that's a different definition.
You're just looking. I don't know what the word that you're looking for is.
Fortune. I mean, maybe that's the Latin of that. Maybe that's the root word.
I'll get back to that later. I'll look it up. I'll figure out where I was going with that.
You definitely won't look that up, nor will you learn that lesson. But if we are to believe this report, do we think that this at all affects how he handled you, Mraz, when you went up to him?
Yeah, I think he's in a cocky, arrogant mode now.
That he's in a Hollywood mode.
He's in a Hollywood mode. He looked at me and said, look at this fat slob. I'm too Hollywood for him.
Because he's getting facials in Beverly Hills. He's running fly patterns with Nick Jonas. Yeah. He's hanging out with TV actors.
That morning, he could have been in California having Nick Jonas run a button hook. And now he's got me with my gut spilling over myself with birdseed on me. He's a jerk.
And so you think that maybe if he had not gone so Hollywood that night, he would have looked at your video, watched some of it, and chuckled.
Now I'm thinking Olivia kept him grounded. Maybe a week earlier, I get a better reaction at Aaron Rodgers, and I'm the first guinea pig on his Hollywood deal.
Is that possible, though? I mean, we all know Olivia Munn. I don't think she seems like the grounded one.
But do we really know how she is at home, you know?
Well, she seems like a Hollywood wild child.
But now we're learning. I think Aaron Rodgers is the Hollywood one, and maybe, you know, Olivia Munn, she wants to be a nice mom at home.
I don't think she's mom material. I don't see that. I don't see Little Miss Homemaker with Olivia Munn. Let me ask you, Ward, do you think that Aaron Rodgers is so Hollywood now that that's why he told Mraz, get away from me, buddy?
Yeah, he definitely thinks he's above the peasants like Mraz.
Well, because he's Hollywood, or he would just do this no matter what? Like, even if he hadn't started dating Olivia Munn?
I think he would have done it no matter what. I think that he is Hollywood to begin with, but the most recent years of his life, including dating Olivia Munn and working out with Nick Jonas, who, by the way, what are you doing? Do you think Eli Manning or Tom Brady's working out with Nick Jonas? No.
Yeah,
they're working out with professional athletes.
Does Nick Jonas work out? I mean, that's not exactly.
He's got a hot bod. I have to say that. He must work out.
Does he?
He's got. I've seen pictures, you know, with it off in magazines and stuff. He's got a good-looking bod.
So you think that Nick Jonas is hot?
You know what? I'm man enough to admit it. Nick Jonas is very sexy.
Really? Is he the sexiest of the Jonas Brothers?
Oh, for sure. He definitely looks the least dirty of the Jonas Brothers.
You think the other Jonas Brothers look dirty?
Yeah, they just kind of look a little grimier. They Jonas, he's well put together. He's a stud muffin.
What's the best physical attribute of Nick Jonas?
I believe he has a six-pack, if I remember the picture correctly.
Okay.
He has nice oily abs on a beach.
So gross.
That's a nice contrast from the pics being speedo in Central Park.
Aaron Rodgers is staring at Nick Jonas's six-pack on Venice Beach, and then he's looking at Mraz's tub of goo.
The Buddha belly.
Pouring over a pink speedo.
At least I'm man enough to admit the man's sexy.
855-212-4CBS. When we come back, my day with Adam Silver. Plus, we'll jump back into your phone calls. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A party on a sports talk spaceship. Just go with it.
I love enjoying the mothership. Thank you guys so much.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. If your battery needs to be replaced, professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Mikey's in Santa Barbara, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1450. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man. I just want to let you know that I'm deeply saddened that you guys are going to be moving time slots. But first and foremost, can you beam me up? Which might be the last time.
Deeply saddened. Why would this sadden you? You know, you could listen to us on demand whenever you want.
You know, that's the thing is I know I can, but I just love you guys on the drive home. You know, you're always in the perfect spot. Here I'm on Pacific time, so obviously I catch you guys, I guess, earlier, if that's what you want to say over here. But I won't be able to fit that into my schedule anymore, and it makes me sad.
Well, but remember, on this drive home, all you got to do is on your phone. It's even safer than streaming is you just got to hit download on the show from the day, and then you hit play, and there's no commercials.
Okay, you're right. I guess I can get that. But one thing I must say is I always appreciate your attitude, really appreciate what you do for us. Always spectacular. I genuinely would love to hang out with you. That's how you make me feel. I'm sure that's how you make a lot of the D-Aliens feel as well. And shout out to my boy, Skinny Fat, Mraz. Love you. Follow both of you guys on Instagram. You guys need more love. See you later.
Appreciate you, Mikey, very much. Very kind of you. And yeah, that's how I feel about everybody. I feel like if you listen to the show regularly, then you get my personality and you get my sense of humor. And if that's the case, then we could totally hang out and be friends. But I'm telling you, whoever is listening out there, if you feel sad because we're not going to be in this time slot, just remember, it's just like DVRing your favorite show when you're going to be out to dinner or running the kids around or working late or something. You're just going to time shift. You're just going to DVR our show and listen to it during this time slot. I mean, think about how easy this is. Let's say you have a 45-minute drive home. Let's say you have an hour drive home, commute. And you usually catch 45 minutes to an hour of this show. But normally, you're getting probably out of those 45 minutes, 25 minutes of content or 35 minutes of content because you've got the updates and you've got the commercial breaks. Now, we'll be done at noon Eastern. You'll see the topics of the day, which we would have gone over anyway at night. You'll just hit download to whatever hour you want to hear, or 2 hours, which will be, it ends up to be about 42 minutes of content or something like that. And then on your way home on your phone, you just hit play, and it comes out of your speaker on your seat next to you. Or if you have a really cool car connection, you plug that aux cable in and it comes through your speakers, or you have a Bluetooth connection and it comes through the Bluetooth, and it's just like you're listening to the show. I mean, I actually think it's better because then we've just wiped out all the commercials for you if you listen to this time slot. I think you're okay. I think everybody's going to be awesome. I think everybody's going to love it, and Just stick with us. Trust us. The show is going to be really good. You don't want to check out starting on Monday because it's we're up in the ante. 855-212-4CBS. So today I was asked by my CBS team or whatever. I guess I was just asked by my bosses, kind of, but it wasn't really through my bosses, but whatever. To be part of a sports media awards breakfast today at the New York Athletic Club. This is not the Heisman Athletic Club. That's the Downtown Athletic Club. This is the New York Athletic Club, but very foo-foo, right on Central Park, high society type stuff. So this was a really cool sports media event where they were handing out awards to best sports production and best sports website and best sports app and best sports game telecast and all this type of stuff. Best sports radio station. Best sports radio station actually had two CBS entrants, Boomer and Carton from CBS's WFAN in New York and then the Jim Rome show from CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Carton ended up winning it, and because they were in that category, they asked me to present that award. So I presented actually six awards, and there were some video tributes and montages and stuff like that from all this great work that people had done. So it was really cool. It was called the Synopsis Sports Media Awards, and Synopsis spelled with a C. So it was cool, a great day. They served breakfast, and very nice, very cool. And it had started to drag, though. It was like a three-hour sports media thing. It started at 8:15. It was nearing 11, and I was the last six awards, and there was probably 25 awards or something. So people had to get to work, and so they're like, okay, let's move it along. So by the time I got up there, I just was all business. Bing, bing, bing. Here's your nominees. Here's the winner. Applause. Here's the nominees. Winner, applause. So I was just all business. But you might think doing this show is really nerve-wracking. And actually, this is a weird thing. Doing this show is not nerve-wracking. Because when I do this show, I cannot conceptualize speaking to everybody I'm speaking to. It is very hard. I've tried this exercise before to actually think about, as I'm speaking, as I'm talking, that it's landing on your ears as you're driving through Tucson or at your dinner table in Green Bay or if you're studying in Baltimore or something like that. Like, it's very hard for me to think about what I'm saying is going out to 180 different cities and innumerable different people. So it's not actually nerve-wracking. I'm just really, in my mind, speaking to Mraz, Ward, and to myself. And I hope that there might be like one person out there listening that likes the show, you know? So it's one of those things where you just, I don't think this is nerve-wracking. But a day like today actually is, because there's 200 to 300 people in an audience just staring at you with like eggs and bacon on their fork, looking at you, kind of bored, kind of wanting to wrap up, being like, okay, are we done here? So, you know, that's more nerve-wracking. And these were like big sports media executives. So you have the head of Turner Sports is there. You've got my bosses at CBS. You've got the MLB Network bosses and, you know, all NBC Universal bosses. So I'm like, I got to make sure I don't totally foobar this thing. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. No big deal. But then as it builds, I'm like, I don't want to screw this up. Do I make a joke? Do I try to be lighthearted? Do I just do my job? Just kind of do like a Belichick thing? Just do your job, put your head down. And then I realize Adam Silver is there, commissioner of the NBA. He is presenting a legacy award to the president of Turner Sports. And obviously they've done a lot of work together because the NBA on TNT has now become an institution and all of that. So I'm like, great. So I'm eating the breakfast. It's a little eggs, a little bacon, a little sausage, a little potatoes, home fries. Great, no problem. Then I start dipping into the fruit. And then I'm like, this is a bad idea because you don't need the stomach churning after all of that meat and eggs. And then you throw the watermelon in there or the melon or the pineapple. I'm like, let me do away with this. I don't need, that's not a good idea here. So I'm waiting. Bonnie Bernstein is presenting the awards before me. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to butcher my name when she hands it off. She actually hit it. Amanda Lara, very nice. I get up there, and I'm actually a little nervous. And I'm rarely nervous because I do this for a living, but I'm a little nervous because I'm like, you know, Adam Silver. It's freaking Adam Silver. And this is the New York Athletic Club. And, like, this is a big deal. So I get the first card, and it's the Boomer and Carton card, and I read it, and I'm just looking down. I'm not even making eye contact with the audience. Looking down. They win. Mark Chernoff, president of CBS Sports Radio, comes up, accepts the award. Look down, don't make any eye contact. I'm like, okay, one down, five to go. Run through the next one. Guy comes up to accept it. I think it was NBC Universal or something. Boom, no eye contact. Eyes go down. I'm like, you know what? Two down, three to go, or two down, four to go. I'm going to look up this time. Look up. Look at Adam Silver. He's texting. I'm like, all right, now I'm not so nervous anymore. So I look down, I do the card. I'm like, all right, well, now I'm kind of feeling good because I haven't messed up the first three. So I do four with a little bit more confidence. But again, no joke. Look up. Adam Silver still looking at his phone. Go down, look up, fourth. Adam Silver still looking at his phone. Every award that I did, Adam Silver had no interest. So that taught me a very important lesson. Don't psych yourself out. There's no reason to be nervous. It doesn't really matter because the person that you're nervous about doesn't care. So I leave there and I head home. And I got to go move my car because it's parked in the street. And then the street parking, because of the street cleaning, I got to switch sides. So I walk by my car. And my license plate is on top of my hood. And I'm like, what the hell? Now, last night when I parked it kind of close to a motorcycle, but not really that close. The motorcycle was perpendicular to the sidewalk, and then I pulled up behind it, and I gave it a good 4 feet or so, and I made sure that I wasn't, like, really on top of it. Now, I'm like, my license plate wouldn't just fall off. It wouldn't just fall off. So I'm thinking to myself, was the motorcycle guy upset that I parked too close to him and ripped it off, and this was like a signal, don't do that again, buddy? Or did somebody park in front of me and ram me because they were like parallel parking or bumping into me and then pulled it off? And then they felt kind of bad, so they put it on top of my hood.
I think it's the latter. A motorcycle guy, if he's that angry to rip it off your car, is going to take it with you to totally screw you over.
Mm.
He wouldn't leave it behind with fingerprints and stuff like that.
Mm.
If he's going to screw you, he's going to screw you. You know what I mean? I think somebody bumped into your car, knocked it off, and was like, oh, crap, I'm not going to leave a note, but let me at least put the license plate up for him.
That's an aggressive bump to rip off the whole license plate.
It has to be. Now, are you sure your nails were all the way screwed in? Has this thing been loosening for a while?
I never noticed it. I mean, it could have been, but I never noticed it.
I bet you it was getting a little more loose than you realize. Enough bumps and bruises parking in the city.
And then the coup de grace to today, I'm on the subway on the way back from the Adam Silver lunch. And there's an open couple of seats in the subway. Great. Hop in there, sit down. I'm like, this is kind of an unusually empty car for the middle of the day, Midtown Manhattan.
There's always a reason.
Ward, you know this too well.
There's always a reason. It's if there's open seats on a subway in the middle of the day, there's always a reason.
You know, and I just thought I had hit the mother load because I was feeling good after the Adam Silver lunch. Sit down. There is an older woman sitting directly across from me who angles towards the wall and goes, pukes. And I'm like, whoa.
She had the fruit on top of the eggs.
Whoa. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. I go, and I audibly said, that's disgusting, and got up and started walking to the other side of the car, and I hear it again. The woman was just puking on the side of the subway car, and everybody was bunched into the two ends of the car looking at this woman. The next stop, I'm running off that car. I look at her in the eye, and she just turns around like it's nothing. Like it's not weird at all. Like everybody does it. Like she was just sneezing. I'm like, what the hell? Get me out of this apocalypse city right now. This woman is vomiting in the middle of the afternoon. It's noon on a train in Midtown, and she's vomiting like it's no big thing. Well, hey, old lady, it is a big thing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.